You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's the National Campus and Radio Association Networks on both of the two radio stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. That's our Fridays from 2 to 2:30. And, of course, CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca every Thursday mornings from 9 to 10. I'm, of course, Kelly. Michael's here. He's on the phone right now. So are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I am here, Kelly.
Cool. So I guess traffic was really, 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 really bad?
Oh, it was horrendous. Every bridge, tunnel that is accessible to me to get into Vancouver was tied up with an accident. Or an accident just ahead of it, or one was just being cratered or something like that. So it just was in near impossibility of getting in there. I would still be driving if I had not decided to divert back around again and make this phone call.
Right.
And then we wouldn't be able to have our guests come on in time. Who is George Greenwood, who's actually on the conference call with us right now.
Okay.
George is an author and advocate for and hero against identity theft. He's written 4 books on the topic, In Your Good Name, Confessions of an Identity Theft, Memories of a Stolen Life, Identity Loss Due to Mortgage and Title Fraud, and he does a lot of work trying to help disabilities fight against identity theft and theft in general. He shared a really special story one time, and I'm sure we'll get it out of him eventually. George, are you there?
I'm here.
Ooh, that's
hey. Isn't it nice to be talked about when you're just kind of like in the background there?
Yeah, I sit back and I go, who's he talking about?
I've actually known George for a number of years now, and George is actually when you came, you listened to our show also, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So George, how long have you been working with identity theft, and what's got you into it?
Well, you know, it's a funny question. You know, it's one of those things that I guess it's, how can I describe it? It's one of those rabbit holes, you know? About 2001, somewhere back in there, you know, I market a program that is for restoration of identity theft situations. And people kept telling me, you know, this is a good program, but it's not for me because, of course, I'm careful, so therefore it couldn't happen to me. You know, and it's something that people say a lot about a lot of different things. And I started to do some research. And, you know, I say publicly now that I admit that at the time my head was not in the right space. I was doing that research solely to prove them wrong. And I know now that's wrong. But it's what got me started. And so as I went down this, what I describe a rabbit hole, I started discovering, and if you've done any research, you know what I'm talking about, that when you ask one question, you get three answers, and now you've got three more questions, which now means you've got nine more answers, and down and down and down you go. And I started putting together an amazing amount of information that just outright fascinated me. And then a gentleman who is the Member of Parliament for Langley area, Mark Warawa, became a good friend, and he challenged me. And I say this openly, and I've said it to Mark. I thank him to this day for challenging me. You know, he says, too much is given, much is expected. Now that you've got all this information, what are you going to do with it? And so I started doing public seminars. And from there, you know, the books and all that kind of came from that.
Was your identity stolen at one time?
I didn't think so at the time. But since I've discovered, you know, thank goodness my case, it's all minor stuff. But I've got some very close friends that were literally crucified by this subject and horrendously attacked. Everything from personal identity to, you know, one friend whose business bank account just outright disappeared.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so what this has all taught me is that everybody is susceptible to this. In fact, the numbers in Canada show that there's 16 million people that have had some kind of a situation related to some kind of identity fraud or attack or hack or something. And when you stop to think, 16 million people, big deal. Okay, well, let's really look at that. Well, wait a second. We have 36 million people in this country. So does that mean just under half, one out of two people, have had some kind of experience?
Well, I know on a personal level, I had an incident where a hospital was trying to collect on fees for giving me a D&C.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's not possible considering a D&C is a female procedure. I'm male. So it's like I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? You couldn't have. It's like, oh, yeah, we did it on your wife. It's like, no, you're actually talking to the person who you're trying to collect from. And they're like, wait, it's not Michelle, it's Michael. I'm like, yes, it is Michael. And you couldn't have physically done that on me. No. So
yeah, that's,
I mean,
a case.
It's kind of laughable, but it could have been something more serious, right?
Many of the stories, that's a good point you bring up. Many of the stories afterwards make good humor. But at the time, it's a violation of your personal self. You know, and so that's literally where this came from. And then I started looking at different situations and different people. And then I realized there are no boundaries here. This is an equal opportunity employer. It really is. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about, totally abled people or totally disabled people. It makes no distinction. And so, you know, based on your introduction, which I appreciate, you know, I started looking at situations from a point of view of people with challenges. And I found some very fascinating situations. And in fact, one, if I may, a story for myself, again, going back to those beginning formative times of this business, is I was asked by one of our local municipalities, and for anybody listening that's outside of the Vancouver area, you know, Vancouver's a bit unique. It's probably very similar to Los Angeles. in that it's made up of what, a dozen or so, you know, cities and districts that make up Greater Vancouver. And one of those cities asked me to do a presentation to a group of disabled people. And I was just starting to speak at that time. This booking was for 6 months later. And so at that point, you know, and I don't say this is right, but it was real, is I'd take every booking from anybody that could fog a mirror.
Well, we're hoping to have the broadcast on our station outside of Vancouver, like parts of British Columbia and parts of Canada. That's why we are part of the National Campus and Radio Association Network. So,
yeah, and that's why I described the breakup of Vancouver the way I did. And so what happened was, I was asked to speak to this group of disabled people, and then I thought, you know what, as time came by, I thought, no, why did I accept that? I don't want to do this. How do I get out of this? And I've always believed that integrity is integrity. And I said I was going to do it, so I'll do it. And one of the things that I have learned, and here's a tip for somebody, if you want to, this is the way it's affected me, is that anytime I find I don't want to do something, that's my mind telling me it doesn't want me to have some kind of a breakthrough. Because I did. I had a huge, amazing breakthrough when I did that meeting for, there was probably 40 or so people in that room with various disabilities. And we were talking about situations that that affected some of them. And some of those we'll probably talk about in the course of this talk today. But this one instance, this lady came up with her, and forgive me, I don't know the proper terms for these things. I guess she's a totally quadriplegic in one of these motorized wheelchairs that you operate with, you know, from blowing in a tube. And she came forward, but she could speak. And she says, let me ask you a question. She says, I understand what you're saying about being careful with the people that we deal with. But she says, what about, look at how you'd think you'd feel if you're sitting in this chair and you're literally watching somebody go through your information and go through your cupboards, and you can't do a thing about it. And I thought, wow, that's why I'm here. That almost brought tears to me, because then I realized that is why I was here, because I needed to hear that.
So it was very emotional.
Oh, totally, totally. Because, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and I guess the best way to relate these is stories through experiences. You know, about 6 years ago, I was asked to speak to a group of Japanese businessmen by a good Japanese friend of mine. And I thought, this sounds like fun. Yeah, I want to do this. And when I got there, you know, the room was very elegant. It was all nicely set up. It was a very, you know, dignified area of room, and the meeting was set up. Like, these are professional business people, and it was very impressive. And then there was one small detail he neglected to tell me, was most of them did not speak English. And this had to be in Japanese. Now, of course, I don't speak a word other than the word arigato. I know nothing in Japanese. And so he had to translate for me. And out of that, I came to the conclusion that, you know what, we all have disabilities, some more than others.
We do.
Because I had the inability to be able to communicate at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lesson that from that I learned really strong, is that we all have disabilities of some form or another. And so the question comes to it is being unsuited for something the same as being disabled, or is being disabled the same as being unsuited? Because how many times have we come into situations where we are disabled by our predetermined prejudice about somebody else with a disability? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Because, it makes some sense as well.
Yeah, because our friend, your friend, Sergeet, was was on.
Yep.
Sergey Atwell.
Yep, he's a good friend.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the introduction to him because he's proof that that just because you have a medical condition does not mean that you are unable to have value in the workplace.
Absolutely. In fact, you mentioned Sergey just a couple of nights ago. He launched his program at the university in Abbotsford. And you tell me who launches their program and gets the mayor, the police chief, the president of the university, the head of the BC Chamber of Commerce, the head of the local Chamber of Commerce, a bunch of different people that he's had experience with through business and groups and clubs and associations were all in attendance. Who gets that kind of attendance other than Sergey?
Yeah.
Now, this Abbotsford Radio, was that a university radio or regular radio?
It wasn't radio. It was an evening forum on site at the University of Fraser Valley at the Abbotsford campus.
Oh, okay.
To launch his new consulting company to help people with disabilities find employment. Is that right?
That's exactly what it was. That is exactly what it was. And you know, I've met Sergey's father on a couple of occasions, and he was, of course, there as well. And he was the guy with most of the emotion for the evening, I have to tell you. You know, because it's a lot of Sergey and his drive to be, you know, better than what people perceive him to be, and he is from his father. His father gave him great support, just amazing support. So, you know, really, Sergey is blessed to have a father that he has.
Well, okay, I'm going to have to leave it there for the first segment. And, Michael, can you let our listeners know who we were talking to?
Yes, we're speaking with George Greenwood, and he is an advocate against identity theft. And when we get him back, maybe he can give us a couple steps we can take to help safeguard ourselves.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I'm going to put you guys on hold, and we will talk to you in just a moment. You're tuned in to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and, of course, our two broadcast stations on the Community Living Show on CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and, of course, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm trying my best to get the ads on here. Just a few moments. So, yeah, it's okay. So I've got them all set. So we will be back in just a moment here on the NCRA Radio Networks.
Guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosions.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Do you have no direction?
Are you trying to make sense of this absurd existence that we experience on a daily basis?
Do you wish to find meaning in this existential quagmire that is the daily grind?
Well, come on down to CITR for Volunteer Wednesdays from 11 to 1 p.m. every week and find your meaning in life. No experience is necessary. So what are you waiting for, Sisyphus? Life is knocking.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. Of course, I am, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin. And we were talking to George Greenwood. And Michael's on the line right now. You there, you guys?
Yep, I'm here. And George is still there, right?
I'm here.
All right.
So, George, I know how important it is to protect ourselves against identity theft. Like you said a little while ago that you had a friend whose business account was totally emptied, and we hear this all the time about how people have somebody hack through or set a trap so that they can empty bank accounts or use cell phones, however it is, use communications to mask what it is they're trying to do and steal our identity so that they can victimize other people. So what are some of the things we can do to help prevent some of this?
Okay, fantastic. That's the best place to go. Understand this. You know, we can toss around statistics till the cows come home. And you know what? The truth is, at the end of the day, that means absolutely nothing. One of the things that I teach people is I don't care if you talk 1 out of 3, 27%, throw whatever kind of numbers you want around. It doesn't matter. Because if it's 1 out of 1 and you're that victim, that's 100% and that's 1 too many. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It does for me.
And that's, I think, the thing that I use as a route from where I begin. People say, well, you know, the statistics really aren't all that bad. Well, go hang the statistics, because if you're that victim, the statistics are 100%. And so that's the basis of where I want to start from. The rest comes into... And I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek, that we talk about, and you hear the news broadcast about how identity theft is on the rise. Well, I challenge that. What I believe is the root of it is that identity theft is not growing, but what I call identity giveaway is. And what I mean by that is this. Go look at your Facebook page. What's in your profile? Go to your LinkedIn page. What's in your profile? And same with all social media. And let's start there, because I think in today's world, that's the big one.
Pretty much everything, am I right?
Do not show a birthday.
No.
There's 3 things the thief wants. Your name, your social insurance number, and your birthday.
And your email or your...
Well, that too, but I'm talking about primary.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, primary needs. Yeah.
Okay, your name, your social, and your birthday. The rest they can make up, and it would not be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
They can show a wrong address. Who cares? Because most people are so used to everybody being mobile and moving that to say you have a new address is not a big deal.
No.
Right? So what stays with you for life? Your driver's license, your social, your birth date, your name. Those things stay with you for life.
So that's your permanent thing, right?
Exactly. So why is your birthday on Facebook? You know, I'll tell you why. Because people want to be just, made fuzzy and warm because of birthday greetings.
True.
Okay.
But if I'm a thief, I can use that same information to do all that kind of stuff.
In fact, I'll give you a live story from one of our cities right here locally. Is a guy gets a phone call from city finance. And he says, I know that you've been doing business with us for a long time. And so, therefore, I find there's a discrepancy in your loan for the purchase of a Ford pickup truck. And the guy goes, what loan for what pickup truck? You see, somebody had gone on Facebook and got this guy's information and used it enough to be able to go make an application to a place where the original customer, the guy who was the victim here, regularly dealt with. Okay, and because all the information was, you know, there, they didn't question anything, except for one little thing. About 3 months prior to this, this individual had been to one of my seminars where I teach, do not show your birthday. If you must, make it wrong.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you show your birth date on Facebook and you're showing it to the public, am I right?
Yep. Then make it wrong.
And make it wrong, yes.
Okay, so if your birthday is in say June 6th, we'll say.
Okay.
Okay, make your birthday May 30.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And make sure the month is different, because if it's just the day that's different, the red flag won't be noticed.
Right.
But in this case, the finance company flagged it and saying, wait a second, this birth date on this application is different than what we have on file for you. Mm. So that's the reason why they phoned him. Which one is correct?
Hmm. Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt. Michael, we're just about out of time for the half hour of the program. We're going to go come back with station ID in just a moment, but we have to say goodbye to our half-hour show, our co-op radio. Thank you for listening, and we will be back again next week. For everybody else, we will be back with station IDs. Please hold for just a moment here. You're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
And we're back on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We have our full hour show, of course, our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking to George Greenwood about Canadian security resources and about, of course, we were talking about social media and what to do about birthdays. Please continue on, George.
Okay. And so because of that situation, the finance company phoned them to check that.
Right.
And by having that check, they were able to stop the deal from going through. Had that deal gone through, he would not have known until probably 3, 4, 5, 6 months later when he received a phone call from a collection agency saying, hey, you bought this new truck. Why haven't you paid for it? And they're there to repossess it. And now he's got a legal fight. And, you know, granted, it's easy to say, oh, it wasn't me, but he's now got a legal fight to prove that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Right? Because what people don't understand is, yes, we have a policy in the courts that says you're innocent until proven guilty. That's only in the courts. Okay? Up until it goes to court, you're guilty until you prove your innocence.
Right, especially in the financial sectors, right?
Especially with an identity situation. You know, so therefore, it becomes very important, just not to dwell on this one thing, but, you know, don't carry more than what you need with you. Do not ever give a social insurance number away as identity. You know, if you're asked for two pieces of ID, do not let one of them be a social insurance number.
Don't even ask them at all.
Exactly. Well, I'm not saying don't ask them. I'm saying is if you are asked, don't produce it.
Right.
Right.
If you go to an ATM machine, you know, oftentimes I see people with wheelchairs going to ATM machines, and so it's really tough to be able to block those PIN numbers of theirs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
It's hard.
And so, be able to have it where, what I tell people is if you go to an ATM machine and you don't feel comfortable because of the surroundings or because who else may be around you, cancel the operation and go to another machine or come back another time. It's your safety, it's your privacy involved that's more important. And it all breaks down to trust. And so emails you mentioned is another one.
Yes.
You will not ever get an email from the government stating that there's a problem with your identity or with your taxes or with things like that. And so there's lots of emails going around right now looking like they're from CRA.
Yeah.
And they're phony. There's lots of them that say that you've got this FedEx. I got one the other day that says I've got this FedEx parcel that needs to be paid for. Well, I've got nothing coming to me. How could I have a parcel I have to pay for?
Good question.
Yeah.
Okay. But you say, well, the email says so. Well, no, guess what? The email can be wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay. Be cautious with that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned cell phones. This is getting to be the scariest of all because a smartphone today or an iPhone today is not a phone.
No.
It's a mini laptop, which to most people, especially the younger generation, now, I'm in my 60s, so a younger generation is 50s and less.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
A smartphone today is a laptop computer. Now, in most of these younger generation people, the laptop computer, i.e. the smartphone, replaces a desktop computer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, therefore, what's in that phone? Everything.
Pretty much all the digital gaps, apps and everything.
Apps, phone numbers, contact lists, bank accounts, club affiliations, business stuff, everything.
It's pretty much to steal your identity for that matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so here's, mark this down. *#06#.
So is that everybody to write this down to?
Yeah. Take that number down. *#06#.
Okay.
That will give you what's called an IMEI number. Okay? Now, we don't need to describe that number. It's just I'll tell you what it is.
Hopefully
what that is that number is the unique identity to your phone. It would be similar to a VIN number from a car.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I am familiar with that because I have unlocked my iPhone to have it moved from one carrier to another carrier. Yeah.
Exactly. So if your phone gets stolen, phone your carrier, give them the IMEI number, and they will disable that phone and make it so that it cannot operate if somebody sells it to somebody else. Now, here's the trick. Don't store that number in your phone because it's already there. Okay? Write it on a piece of paper, put it in your wallet.
Right.
Keep it at home because if your phone's gone, you need to be able to access it.
Can you also do it on landline?
I believe so. I've never tried that, but I imagine. I mean, hey, there's always, hey, you know, can I borrow your phone? I got to phone my supplier.
Right.
I got to, you know, you go to a business, you know, there's always, I mean, there, hey, there's even the odd courtesy phone or the odd, even the odd pay phone still exists.
Right.
You know, and so you find some way of phoning them. But, you know, the trick is that you contact them to disable that phone if need be.
Right, so that's the *#06#, and you call them up and you say, I've lost my phone, can you please lock the phone or something like that?
Yeah, now, just because you misplaced it, this is not a temporary thing. You know, it's not because, oh, I can't find my phone. Oh, here it is, I'm going to unlock that number now. No, once you lock it, you lock it.
Right.
So if you lost your phone, make sure you lost your phone.
Yeah, permanently.
You know, let's talk about another one. Don't carry with what you don't need with you. You know, most people use their wallet like a storage locker. Mm. You know, and here's the way I look at that. If you happen to have, say, 3 credit cards,
okay,
carry the one with you that you're going to use.
The main
leave
one.
The other two at home. If you lost your wallet and you lost all 3, if you talk to anybody that's ever had their whole identity programs lost, it could take years to put it all back together again. Mm. Right? And
right.
So therefore, if let's just say for a simple example, you had a MasterCard, a Visa, and an American Express card. Let's just keep that simple.
All 3 of those.
Yeah, and you got one of each. And so you use your Visa, say, as your basic one.
Right.
And it gets stolen or lost. Okay, cancel it.
Right.
Go home, pick up your MasterCard, carry on with your day.
Right.
If you lost everything, you can now, you can't operate.
No.
Right.
Right? And you get caught in that little hoop. Oh, to get a new credit card, I need your identity. Well, no, my identity got stolen. Okay, so to go get a driver's license, you need to have identity. So, you know, you need the other pieces to be able to get the other one.
Yes.
And so you get caught in a circle of which spoke is first in a spinning wheel.
You also need another ID, like your birth certificate or something.
Exactly. But if you've lost everything... So be cautious and cognizant of what it is that you're carrying with you and ask yourself, do I need this today? And if I don't, then don't carry it. Mm. Leave it at home.
Right. Good advice, George. We're going to take a break in just a moment here. Please stand by for the next segment here. We're talking to George Greenwood about Canadian identity resources, and very good, interesting topic to talk about. Thank you very much for all that, George. We're going to come right back in just a moment here on the NCRA Radio Networks, and of course, you're tuned into the Community Living Show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Do you like friends? We like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more or come check us out in the Nest.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could
dream we could start again. All right, you tune into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network. It's our full hour edition, flagshipped by CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Final thoughts with George Greenwood, who is the Canadian Identity Resource. Michael, go ahead.
Okay. So, George, why don't we finish up with maybe one more point of advice for people to protect themselves against identity theft, and then let's talk about your mission with the Canadian Identity Resource Student Company.
Okay? Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to when I started this and I got caught into what I referred to before as this rabbit hole. And it became a subject that absolutely has fascinated me in all aspects. You know, and one of the things that I was questioned the other night at Sergeet's event was, why do I put some attention to this, to what could be referred to as the disabled part of this market? And I just want to say this, and I never really talk about this much, but so we'll keep this as a secret just between you and I here.
And me.
Yeah. So the three of you, knowing that this is open radio too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All here on the Community Living Show.
That's it. We have a family member who a number of years ago had the misfortune of being blown through a window of a bus during an accident. Mm. And to this day, both physically and mentally, is a totally different person. And when I looked at that, I tried to look at the bigger picture past being our own family and to see how this impacts other people. And I came to realize that it's more common than we know. And so this whole aspect of identity really becomes a trust issue. And that becomes a very passionate situation because the question comes up, who do I trust? You know, is it that care worker who might be siphoning off some funds because they have a limited power of attorney to do so, because they pay all your bills because you can't? And it's like, okay, $10 here, $1 for me, $10 over here, $1 for me. And there have been cases of that. And, you know, is it the situation where if I'm talking to a blind person, I tell them I'm giving them a $10 bill, but in fact, I'm giving them a $5? And, you know, these things are real. These things happen. And so when it comes to identity, you know, we need to be cognizant of who we give our information to and why. And so that becomes this whole matter of a mission for me. And, you know, I started off using a phrase right back in 2000 when I started. It says an informed community is a safer one. And from there, I always close my pieces with, may you always be the only you there is. Because to duplicate somebody is easy. Easier than you can believe. And so I often say that if you have a situation where you're by yourself, even a fully abled single person, I think, should have somebody. Now, this is get legal advice on this. I'm no lawyer. But I think every single person should have somebody that has a power of attorney on them. Because one day you may be in a situation where you can't speak for yourself. And who has that authority to do so? And that's a person you must assign that right to. And if you have any kind of a handicap whatsoever, you need to have somebody established, not understood, saying, oh, my mom or my uncle or my aunt or my grandmother or whoever, or my son or my daughter, but legally have somebody set up to be able to speak to a doctor, speak to a police officer, speak to somebody in the event that you cannot, for whatever reason. I think that's very important. And so identity is something that you need to be mindful of. You know, there's that old joke that, oh, I'm a mother, I gave up my identity years ago. You know, there's all these jokes about that.
Yeah.
Of course.
But they're not jokes. Because once you give away your identity, it's gone. And it is a primal right to be who you are. And that identity is the definition of who you are. And if you let somebody take that for their own personal gain. See, understand, here's one of the big misconceptions. Identity theft is not always about money. You know, if you know, Kelly, I'm going to use you for an example here, if I may.
Okay.
You know, you have a radio program.
We do.
You're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If I wanted to go across the country and start a radio show and I need to show that I've got experience, would I be better to be me or be better to be you?
Probably both of us.
Yeah.
And that's actually the best answer, is a blend. But I'm going to use what I can of yours to justify the experience that I want to portray that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I use your name. What has that got to do with money? Directly, nothing.
No.
Okay?
Of course,
we are. So it's not always about stealing your Visa or your MasterCard. And that's what people think of is identity theft. And it's not. Identity theft is the virtue of stealing someone's identity. Mm-hmm. Same as what I spoke the other night at Sergeant's thing. If I am an employer, and I have what I refer to as this predetermined prejudice against somebody with a disability, have I stolen their identity because I'm not allowing them to put forth their interest, their skills, their training, if you will, to be able to get some gainful employment? I've stolen that opportunity from them by having that predetermined prejudice. So in effect, I've stolen their identity.
Yes.
And so it's not just about money and your bank account and your credit card. It's about who you are. The essence of a person is who their identity is. And it took you a lifetime to build that. And what a shame it would be if in 10 seconds, all of a sudden, it's changed for life.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so that's the passion that I've learned from this, is that to show people that it's thin ice here, that you've got what you have and protect it, because there's nothing more valuable than the essence of who you are as a person, and that has to be protected. And we do that by not allowing ourselves to carelessly let somebody else take advantage of what I've spent a lifetime trying to create. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We work hard to I know I work hard to be me.
I was going to say, just to don't forget, we were the second generation of this show and you may have to ask the previous show or previous people that did the show as well, Dave and Lori and Richard. Those were the original people that did this show completely.
Yep.
Right.
And so, but you know, a thing like a show, you know, like a post on social media, mm-hmm. you know, it grows and evolves, and you know, and the things like those end up by involving other people, and you know, you can get into, you know, a whole thing on business identity as well. You can get into things like, I did a talk once on spiritual identity. That was wild, that one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this whole aspect of identity can go in a whole number of different directions. But the common denominator is whatever you establish, protect it. And be aware of it enough so that you respect it enough to be protected. And that's literally the bottom line here.
Right.
And it's a shame, you know, that I actually even say this, but most people don't see the value of the need to protect any of it until it's gone. And if there's a message that I want to portray to anybody here today or everybody that's listening to you today, and that's it. Okay?
All right.
Respect your identity enough to protect it. And yes, you are as important. You know, people say, oh, here's another one. Oh, you know what? I'm just an average person. I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have, you know, a good job. I'm just, you know, a basic person. And who would want my ID? Well, who wants your ID? Nobody.
No.
But who wants your identity? You are a better prospect to a thief than a Jimmy Patterson or a Jimmy Buffett or whoever you want to name. Because if I go into a grocery store claiming to be Jimmy Patterson, somebody's going to go, no, I know Jimmy, and that's not you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? But if I go into, especially in a different city, if I walk in and say, my name is Michael Clark, and they're going to go, oh, good to meet you. Mm-hmm. You know? And so us as average people are more vulnerable than the rich and famous because the thief can blend in as much as we do. And that person who does not blend in is not a good target because that theft becomes obvious.
Right.
Not only that, the Jimmy Pattersons of the world have the resources to attack the law and the courts and the lawyers on me, whereas the average person, you know, fears the authority, fears legals, fears lawyers, and just doesn't want to be involved with any of it, and nor has the resources to put in play to attack it.
Hmm.
And so you become more vulnerable as an average person. Now, I don't say that to put in fear. I do put that in to say, hey, wake up, smell a coffee, protect yourself. And if you're aware of it, it's not a big deal because you start to think, oh, where have I put this? Where have I put that? What am I filling out on the form? You know, like when I go in and enter a contest, I put my first name and my cell phone number on. If it's a legitimate contest and I've won, they will call me.
Mm.
Right.
Because most contests, by the way, are not contests. They're data collection.
Yeah. How can we get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me I have a Facebook page for the business. It's Keeping Identity Safe by George Greenwood on Facebook. That's probably one of the easiest ways. I have an email address, george@keepingidentitysafe.com. And those are probably the two easiest ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your Facebook page is on safe identity?
Keeping Identity Safe by George Greenwood.
Okay.
That's the page.
Okay.
And my email, george@keepingidentysafe.com.
All right. Thank you very much, George, for coming into the show.
Thank you very much. And if anybody's out there with an organization or association, I'd love to speak with you about speaking to your group.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. And we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
And next week's show.
Next week's show will be with Laura Lane, and she wrote a book about her experience and another mother's experience with their two daughters who both had terminal cancer.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Right. Thank you, guys. We'll All talk right. again soon next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right, so you tune in to the Community Living Show on CITR 101.9 FM. Please stay tuned for more other shows that are coming up on the NCRE Radio Network. Because if you want to get a chance to get a hold of us, you can. Our email address is communitylivingshow@gmail.com. And, of course, we're on Twitter. We're on Twitter at CLiving Radio. And, of course, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/Community Living Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back again next week. Have a great day, everybody.